If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So, one of the things that I'm worst at when it comes to watching TV is knowing when to quit a show. I've gotten better about cutting my losses as the years have gone on, but I'm also definitely one of those people who sticks it out for just a little too long. Like, I watched Pretty Little Liars until the bitter end. I did smartly give up on Riverdale as I sensed it going totally off the rails, though. That was before the musical episode and the time jumps and whatever else was happening on that show. But with reality TV, I find it even harder because there's a combination of, like, the comfort of watching these shows, the nostalgia factor of how many amazing seasons any given show has delivered over the years, and also just the potential that, like, they'll reel it back in and produce another good season down the line. And so if I quit a show, I might miss that season. With The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, though, a few years ago, I just, like, had to tap out. Everyone wanted to be an influencer, none of the couples stayed together for long after the shows, and the time commitment of no less than 2 hours a week was completely unsustainable for me. Like, I just didn't care enough to put in that much time. This fall, though, I opened myself back up to Bachelor Nation a bit to watch The Golden Bachelor, which is honestly one of the best new reality shows that we've gotten in a very long time. I know it's not fully new, because it's the same format and franchise as The Bachelor itself, but this feels so much like the first season of a reality show. They're all green, they're not savvy to the machinations of reality TV, they don't care about being influencers, and most importantly, they actually want another shot at love. There was a great piece in the New York Times recently proposing another reason for the show being so successful, and it's the addition of grief. A lot of the people, including Gary, the central love interest, have lost their spouses. They know what love is, they've experienced it, and they want to find another version of it for themselves. They aren't afraid to get genuinely emotional and don't hide the fact that those late partners will always be in their hearts. It's sweet and authentic and touching, and I honestly get emotional every single week. Like, I literally cry during it. Anyway, back to this episode. Back in 2017 during Nick Vial's season, is it Vial? I never know, and people say it's Vial, but like his podcast is called Vial Files, so what's the truth? Anyway, I was still very much wrapped up in Bachelor Nation during his season. I was interviewing a lot of the stars for work and thought it was sort of at the tail end of the show's like second golden era, I want to say. It was still producing a lot of stars, there was good drama, it was making a lot of major headlines. Anyway, Corinne Olympios wound up being far and away the biggest star and standout contestant from that season. I interviewed her back then before she sort of like shrunk away from the spotlight for several years, and I wasn't sure what she was up to, but she's back now on House of Villains, which is a show that airs on E! On Thursdays at 10 p.m., and it brings together some iconic reality TV villains like Tiffany New York Pollard, Jax Taylor, Johnny Fairplay, Omarosa, Corinne, and they compete and fight and shade one another, and it's honestly so fun to watch. It's only several episodes in, so I'm not really sure exactly where it goes, but I was excited to have Corinne on today's episode of Gabby with Gib, And we talked about some of the standout moments from the season so far, what it was like for her jumping back into reality TV, her relationship with the label of villain, and it's a complicated one, what she thinks of The Bachelor and Bachelor Nation now. She was shady and open and cryptic, and it was honestly just like a delicious conversation. So please enjoy my interview with Karina Olympias. I want to gab. All right, so today we're gabbing with Karina Olympias from E's House of Villains, where she lives and competes with some of reality TV's most notorious evil geniuses and drama starters. I'm loving the show so far, Karina. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad you're enjoying the show.
No, it's so fun. And like, I think when it initially sort of like leaked out that this could be happening, I think a lot of people got excited about it. And like the dream casts were sort of like spinning in people's minds. I think you were definitely on some of those lists. And it seems as though like everyone was a surprise for you guys. Like you showed up and you had no idea who else was coming. Who was on that list in your mind? Like once you knew you were doing the show, who like were some of the people that you were like, okay, they could be at the house when I get there?
Oh man, I really didn't have any clue. I was trying not to like get so in my head about it. So my dad told me, he was like, oh my gosh, Omarosa is going to be there. And I was like, who the fuck is that? but he called it out from like the beginning, who she was. And I didn't read too much into it. I didn't want to like panic. So I was like, you know what, we're just going to like go in, be surprised and take it from there.
Yeah. So are you not a big reality TV watcher? Like, do you watch any reality TV?
I used to watch a lot of reality TV until I started like being in it.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, I'm a big like movie girl. Like movies every single night. Like every night is movie night. Like,
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Well, I also feel like it must be one of those things where it's like once you're in it and sort of part of sort of that universe, like you know too much of sort of like how it works and what goes on.
Yeah, like that. But it's like I know how it all works and like I know, you know what I mean? Not like that. Like, but like, I don't want people to take that as like, oh, it's like fake or whatever.
Because no.
I know the stress of being there. And I know like, you know, I know things. I know too much.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean it like sort of fake. I just meant like, it's probably almost like triggering. Like, and you just sort of like.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to just, when I do a project and like, I don't like to be thinking about like anything except being myself and being there. And like, I don't like even like thinking like, oh, I'm on reality TV. It's like, I'm just always fully myself. So I try to stay away from reality TV, but I love Say Yes to the Dress.
Okay. Love. Okay. So everyone's arriving and it's sort of like, you're finding out who's there with you. And the one person you did sort of make a comment about that it seemed as though you knew something about them was Jax. When you said we couldn't, when you walked in, you were like, we can't trust him. So had you not watched Vanderpump Rules, or was that intel, or was that just a gut feeling?
That was like people warning me going into the house. They're like, I feel like Jax is going to be there. Don't trust Jax. And I heard that from a few people. So I was like, oh, at least like I know something. So I was like trying to just like fit in. And I was like, I heard we can't trust him. You know?
Yeah.
I was just trying to fit in. But yeah, that's where that came from.
Did that intel from a couple of friends, did that like immediately sort of ring true for you, like just based on like gut feeling around him?
Honestly, like when he first came to the house, I was like, wait a minute, he's like actually kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a thing. It didn't become a thing with Jax until Balls Out Challenge.
Right. And then the other immediate foe for you was Omarosa, who obviously you just told me your dad predicted would be there. And, you know, you introduce yourself, you go up, you're very nice. And she just like, you're like, what's your name? And she's like, Google me. And obviously that's going to catch anybody off guard when somebody responds instead of just telling them.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Do it.
Boiling blood that came over my body and just like the pure shock. Like it was truly like the most caught off guard I've ever been in my life, I think, to like up to date. Like, I was like, oh, bitch. I was like, keep it the fuck together right now. I was, oh my God. Woo.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're going into a house with all these quote unquote villains, but like, you still kind of want to be treated with some respect, you know? And
it was day one, minute five. Relax.
She was the last to arrive. She had her moment and she wanted to continue having the moment, I guess. We're getting a massive eye roll. Yeah.
She's all about her moments. She talks about it all the time. She's like, I take any moment I can get. So yeah, we know, we see.
And why did that make you emotional? Was it just the shock of it?
It was honestly the shock of it. And I was just like, I felt like I almost couldn't like go off as much as I want. I don't know. It was literally, again, day one, minute five. I wasn't going to like get into a scream. Like I called her a bitch and I just left the room because I was just like, I'm not going to stand there and fucking try to get someone's attention and like argue with someone that's just like that fucking rude. But so I was just like emotional and I just like, honestly, like embarrassed and like caught off guard. And I just like went upstairs and cried.
No, but I think that in the moment with her, like you reacted the perfect way. It's like she wanted her moment. You kind of got your moment too. And it's like, just take yourself out of that situation because you weren't.
I think she realized too.
Yeah.
She kept trying to talk to me after. And she was like, you handled that perfectly. I'm like, please don't. Please don't. Please don't.
That's honestly, there's something validating in there of her acknowledging that, but like
okay, Karen can hold her own.
Like you, but you don't need her approval, so it's sort of like,
yeah. I was like, well, get away from me.
On his podcast recently, I'm sure you've heard about this. Jax had some choice words about you, saying you cried the whole time, yada yada yada. I mean, again, I'm a Vanderpump Rules watcher, so I'm gonna say, is it safe to say that he's just sort of like exaggerating and writing his own narrative about that first week in the house?
Where to begin right now? Jax, first of all, I did not cry the whole time, as you guys can see clearly in the show. Listen, I will cry if I want to cry, number one. Number two, what was the rest of the question? Just because
I was basically saying, like, Jax is known to exaggerate and sort of write his own narrative.
Well, yeah, he also exaggerated when he was like, oh, she kept asking me, do you like me? Do you like me? Do you like me? Like, no, I know you don't like me, Jax. We were all at dinner the night before the premiere. I didn't even talk to him at the premiere party. We were all at dinner the night before, or a few of us, and he was visibly upset when I showed up to dinner. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking like fuck with him. And I was like, why don't you like me, Jax? Like, I know you don't like me. And I said that one time. And he just, like, didn't answer. And he was also being so rude to my sister, who's, like, 23. And, like, it's, like, you're literally bullying a 23-year-old. Like, she's my sister. Like, fucking respect her. Like, you're literally so immature. What are you doing?
It's also just, like, I'm sure if, like, you met his wife, Brittany, or something, like, you would never be like that to her. So it's sort of, like...
I would never be like that to anyone.
Right.
But, again, like, I think you guys, everyone who knows me at this point knows, like, you will not ever see me go off or be rude to anyone unless you start with me first.
You don't start fights, you finish them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You also, okay, so you get to share a room with Tiffany New York Pollard, who is, she's probably one of the biggest just like general TV icons of like this century, honestly. Were you secretly just like a little giddy inside to be like sleeping in a room with New York? Because she just like is a legend. And I feel like I wouldn't know what to do in a situation like that.
I definitely got very lucky with my roommate. I mean, she is just, she's a queen. Like, I love her. She had my back. It's honestly a friendship that no one ever, like, expected. And she really was there for me. And just, we definitely have our moments, just like any good friend. But, like, I was very lucky to have her as a roommate. I was really lucky. Did I know exactly who she was? No, I didn't, because I don't watch reality TV. And like, I've definitely seen her in memes. And like, when she said who she was, like, I know of her and I'm really excited to meet her. But like, I didn't ever watch her. So I wasn't, but I knew that when I was given the option to room with her or room with the boys, I was like, no, I'm going to stick with New York.
Also, it's like, she's a good potential ally in this show. You know what I mean? Like, she's such a strong personality and she'll fight for her friends probably. So like, that's a good person to have in your corner.
Exactly.
Did she actually sleep in her sunglasses every night?
You know what? She did. And I love her so fucking much for it.
It's iconic.
It's so iconic. So iconic.
Were there other quirks of just living with her and being such close quarters with her?
She loves Splenda on everything. And you know what? I love her for that too.
Love that. The more you know, like, honestly.
Off Splenda. I'm like, it's not healthy.
But like you said, though, you and her have some moments. So right before this first elimination, you two have sort of a blow up around the rest of the group and she goes upstairs. What was that really about?
It was a miscommunication because Bobby the night before had came in and was just like kind of fucking with us, like causing a scene over nothing. So when nothing even happened, she thought I was saying nothing even happened with Bobby coming into our room. So like she thought I was discounting her being upset about that, but I wasn't. I was saying nothing even happened. Bobby was just starting drama. There was no drama. That's what I meant by nothing even happened. So that was a miscommunication between us.
Got it. And you guys get through that. And I'm curious, like thinking about a moment like that, was it hard to tell sometimes when we're in a house with like such strong personalities who know how to make good TV, who like to start drama? Like, was it ever hard to tell which fights were like, or which arguments were super like just genuine emotion or certain people trying to have moments like we talked about with Omarosa? Like, there's like a meta context, I feel like, to all the arguments here.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but you're going to see some stuff coming up that is definitely like, there's definitely arguments and there's definitely arguments that are calculated by people I don't like. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. I'm intrigued. Maybe this ties into that, but I was surprised when you were on Watch What Happens Live recently, which is a great episode, by the way. And there was this bobbling head sort of situation where Andy was just sort of asking you about all your housemates. And the person who you said you would never want to do a reality show with is Anfisa from 90 Day.
Oh, I hate that you're talking about this because I felt really bad. And it's not because I don't like her. It's because I could never tell if I could actually really trust her. Because I couldn't read her. One day she's in a good mood. One day she's not talking at all. So I just, and also it was just like the whole, like the two pretty girls in the house, you know, she's gorgeous. So it was just like, I'm used to just having all the attention, honey, you know? So no, it wasn't
no bad blood.
What?
There's no bad blood.
No. It wasn't because of that. And I felt bad that I said that without any context. So I'm glad I get to clear that up,
yeah,
actually.
That's great. Because I don't watch 90 Day Fiancé, so I wasn't sure if there's like more to her story.
And I probably would do a reality show with her if it came down to it. It was just, you know, a fun game in the moment.
Right.
Like I just thought all the
of course.
Attention.
Yeah.
Guys. But who doesn't?
I mean, who doesn't? Come on. Speaking of the guys, Johnny Bananas clearly has a crush on you. You said that he's the last person you texted. Do you guys just have a fun relationship since the show? Like friend, obviously it seems like a friendship.
Yeah, no, he's just like that guy that's just always making me laugh and playing pranks on me and making jokes and just like he keeps me on my toes. He's just really fun. He's a great friend of mine. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit more of like the overall villain label, because I feel like I've since tapped out of most things Bachelor, but back when you were on the show, I was very much in it. And, you know, it's a divisive label because I feel like some of the people on the show even like see it sort of as a badge of honor and they embrace it and they kind of love it. But also some people are on the opposite side. They take offense to it. And
yeah.
And I'm curious, like what's your relationship like to the label of villain?
There's a fine line between villain and bad person. So it's like, I was like, I'm not like putting anybody down or making anybody feel bad about themselves. I'm not a mean person. I'm not like a bad person. You know what I mean? Like I'd say Taylor from my season of The Bachelor is a true villain. I mean, with everything that came out about it, she's just not a good person. Me being a villain and like stealing time and taking naps and making funny jokes like that, that's a reality TV villain. And that's, you're not a bad person. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't mind being called a villain. And like, at first I was like, no, I'm not a villain. Then I was like, no, but there's a fine line between like villain and bad person. So I can get down with villain, but people know I'm not a bad person.
Of course. No, I think that I was, you know, prepping for this interview, I was thinking back to your time on the show and it always kind of just felt like you were quote unquote villainized for just like being yourself and putting yourself out there. And like, yeah, you ruffled feathers, but it was just sort of like people were, I think, threatened by you.
Yeah, exactly.
You said there's a distinction between villain and bad person. Are there people on this show that you think are bad people? House of Villains?
I'm going to go with no comment right now. I really want people to see the way the things play out with me and the other villains.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
And I visit this question later on once
okay
we see some things unfold.
I might circle back. As I said, I've sort of tapped out of The Bachelor several years ago, and I thought it was just sort of, I saw the writing on the wall, I felt like, for some of these seasons. But I have a friend who is very much and still like, you know, in tune with the whole thing. And I wanted to get like a temperature read on sort of what that's like these days. And she said that, you know, now it's just people are so scared of like being confrontational and being disliked and, you know, getting bad reactions from fans. And like, so they avoid being confrontational on the show. Do you think that that's a problem with the show now, with reality TV in general now, sometimes where people just are so scared of being disliked? Or what's your thought? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's different for like us on Villains rather than people going on The Bachelor, because people going on The Bachelor have never been on camera before. So yeah, people go on The Bachelor and they're scared when the cameras come on and they become different people. And that was my whole thing. I'm like, just be your fucking self. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, that's why, you know, they were like, you're not acting like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, exactly. I'm being my fucking self. So I think there's those kind of people. I think the people that like I'm on the show with on Villains, it's like, we're just who we are.
It's the complete opposite. Right.
So yeah, two totally different things. But I think people that first go on The Bachelor are like, oh, okay, I don't want to be painted as this. I do want to be painted as this. And they're very calculated in the way they act because of who they want to be, come to the public eye.
Right. Which to me is ultimately just going to be like a failure, because like people see that you're not being authentic.
Exactly.
But I feel like what makes House of Villains so great is that you are all from like a different era of reality TV, competition shows and things like that. It's like, there's a difference in sort of how I think it would people approach those shows. I mean, I guess your season was sort of like, some of the women weren't thinking that way, but I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah. Sorry.
How tapped into Bachelor Nation are you these days? And like, do you like, what's your relationship like with that sort of massive fan base?
I mean, I'm as tapped in as I can be. I try and watch The Golden Bachelor like when I can. I still talk to some of my friends from my season, but like other than that, really not that tapped in. But like, I love Bachelor Nation. Like, I still talk to like my producers and things like that. And, you know, I'm just a big fan of the franchise just because I had so much fun doing it back in the day. And, you know, if they ever asked me to go, I'm single on Paradise, I would never say no, you know, or to be the Bachelorette.
Campaign starts now. So I'm tapped out except for the Golden Bachelor. I was told enough good things about it. It feels like it's back to sort of the core of the show.
Gary or whatever his name is, he's so cute.
He's the cutest man on TV. Oh my God.
He's the cutest man. I'm like, why?
And like, I cry every episode.
I got hysterical.
I cry. Hysterical. I cry every episode. It's like, it's real. It's just like, it feels so, you know.
Authentic.
Yes, totally. Obviously, House of Villains, we're just kind of getting started with it. But I'm curious if like, just this, if you can talk about the experience as a whole and how it, do you feel like it sort of helps you like, rewrite some of your own narrative when it comes to like being on reality TV and how you were treated back in the day? And I don't know, I feel like it's this sort of, it's almost like a triumphant moment to just be included on a show like this, I think, because it again, I think it validates the impact that you have had and like the staying power of like you as a reality star. How are you thinking about it in that way?
I could not be more honored to be asked to be on the show and like, you know, be with all these other like iconic people. It was a little bit difficult that first day. Also, when I was crying, I was kind of like I've done a bunch of TV in and out and in between, but like this was the first like competition show again that it like brought me right back to like kind of the space like where I was like, oh, like this is like Bachelor. This is like
it's a mirror of that
in a show again. You know, like competing. So it was like very. Very strange, but I'm honored and I'm so excited that I got to be a part of it. And I'm so thankful. And I had the best freaking time ever.
When you were in that moment, when you were sort of like, oh, well, like I am back in this. And it's sort of like your life probably flashed through your eyes. How did you reframe it in your head at that moment to be like, no, like I want to be here and I want to do this?
I never had a moment where I was like, I don't want to be here. I just had a moment like where I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, because like, I was just like, I got to get my head in the game. Like, this, like, we're here, we're doing a show, it's a competition, like, we're doing this. It was kind of just like a whoa moment. And I was just like, wasn't prepared for someone to like be mean to me right off the bat. And like, I was like, oh, like, no, this is like, we're doing this.
It was a wake up call. It was a wake up call, basically.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And then lastly, you know, how are you thinking about sort of like your future plans in terms of like, cause I feel like this is a big moment for you to like be back in a really kind of big spotlight, and it could probably launch into other things. There are a ton of other mashup reality shows out there. How are you thinking about sort of how this can set you up for what's next for you?
Well, I really like, I love doing reality TV. I'm really focused on like a lot of my own projects right now, like super exciting. So I'm really just working toward my own next things, but I'm excited to see, like, there are some other fun reality shows coming up, which will be announced soon. Super fun. You guys are going to see me a lot more coming up, which is really exciting for me. But yeah, for the most part, I'm really just focused on like my future. I really like, my dream is to be a talk show host late night. And, you know, I just have been working on like my own content and things like that. If you guys follow me on Instagram, I'm at C Olympias. I'm starting to post some teasers for what I have in my reels, and things should be announced pretty soon. So like, I'm really excited to just be back out on TV and like entertaining people, making people laugh, and like having people get to know me again. You know, I kind of took a little break from reality TV and, you know, social media during the pandemic just for my own mental health. But she's back, baby, and better than ever.
It's the reintroduction of Corinne Olympias, everyone. And we love it. I don't expect you to remember, but back in the day, probably like 2017 or 18, like, we did a Facebook Live together at some point, like a big interview. And I wish I had brought it. I have a I Love Corn hat, the corn hat that you made, that like the first merch that you ever made.
No.
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, guess what? I'm making more merch for villains.
Yes. That's what we like to hear. I love that.
So good.
I love it. So good. Oh my God. I'm so excited. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe that. I really appreciate you getting that hat. I can't wait for you to see the new stuff. It's so good.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for you, Corinne. And like, again, the show is great. You're great on it. And I'm just excited to see the rest of the season. So Corinne, thanks for taking the time today. This has been so much fun. And I'm looking forward to the rest, and you clearly have a lot going in the future. So I'm excited to hear what it is.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate it. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.